Hey everyone, it's me, Dr. D, here with Prideful Kids Podcast, Coloring Outside the Lines. And as you guys know, our podcast is all about the ins and outs of parenting. The good, the bad, the ugly, the joyful, the amazing, the frustrated, and even those things that we say about our kids that we really aren't supposed to say as parents. But we are going to talk about it all here on Coloring Outside the Lines. And today's color is Homestead Green. That's right. We are talking about homesteads today. And we have our special guest, Dr. Jennifer Stevens. Dr. Stevens, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hello, everyone. Like Ms. Candace said, I'm Jennifer Stevens. I have a small homestead on 5 acres in a little outside of Atlanta, Georgia, and I am homeschooling my 5-year-old twins, and then I love being a wife and a mom, so I've got a lot of things that we're going to talk about today, and I'm excited to share.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're going to jump right into it. We're pulling out these crayons today and we are about to color all outside the lines because let's just be honest. We don't know many people that have homesteads. That's like almost unheard of, yet alone an African-American family that has a homestead. So tell us a little bit about how you came to having a homestead and what that process looked like for you all.
Okay, so to be honest, I have always been an animal lover. Ever since I was a little bitty kid, I've always loved whatever animal I met. I loved it. It didn't matter if it was furry or not. I was into it. So I kind of carried that with me. And then when my husband and I got married, we were still in school. So, you know, that kind of never... A homestead was never really a reality that we could have. Plus, we lived in Chicago, so we were right in the middle of the city. That wasn't going to happen there. Not to mention that my husband is a city boy. So once we moved to Georgia, I started to see that this was kind of a possibility for us. And it really started off with me just wanting to keep bees. I knew that I could talk my husband into keeping bees. You know, that was like the small thing, bees and chickens. And so, the big catalyst for us was in 2014 when our twins were born. They were born very early. They were born at 29 weeks. And we had this thing where at the end of the year, we would make plans. You know, we would write a list of all of our goals for the next year. And generally what we wrote on that list, we would get it done. Even if like we wrote the list and put it away and forgot about it, if we went back to that list, it was like the things would manifest throughout the year. So that year was really crazy because I was pregnant with the twins and we were devastated when they came early. And so the list that we had made for that year, it just kind of got put to the side because honestly, that first probably 2 months, I didn't know if the children were going to survive. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I told Tobias, my husband, I told him, when we get through this, when y'all brings us through this, we are going to start living life. We're not going to keep talking about what we're going to do in 5 years, what we can do in 10 years. We're going to start living life for what we can do right now and start enjoying life right now, because having them come early and not knowing if they would survive really just, it highlighted the fact that every single day is precious and there's no reason that you should keep pushing back your life dreams for when the time is perfect, because this perfect time is never going to come. And so we just decided that once we get home with these little people, we're going to figure out what we can do to start doing the things that, you know, were kind of on my bucket list, this thing, these things that I wanted to do before we got too old to do it. So once the twins came home, we got them home safely. Y'all saved both my babies. And that next year, so I think they got to be almost, no, we moved into this house on 5 acres. The twins hadn't even turned 2 yet, so they were almost 2.
Wow.
And I'll be honest, the way we got this house, it was a true blessing. We are supposed to be in this house. This house had been on the market for over a year, and it was way out of our price range, way out. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars over our price range. Mm. And we saw lots of properties that we felt like we wanted 5 to 10 acres. So we went and saw a lot of properties. And mind you, this was like a rush job because we weren't ready to put our house on the market, but we said, let's have our realtor come over and just check it out and see what she thinks we need to change. Well, she came over and she was like, it's perfect. It's ready. I'm going to put it on the market today.
Wow.
That was Sunday. Well, by Wednesday, we had a full offer on the house, signed contract. We hadn't even started to look for our home. So it was just kind of like a surreal situation. My husband had to go on a business trip on Monday. So by the time he got home on Wednesday, I literally had made a list of 15 properties that took us into that realm of 5 to 10 acres that had a house on it that was livable and that wouldn't take us too far out into the country. Because at that point, my husband was like, I don't want to be 20 minutes, more than 20 minutes, 30 minutes from the actual city, from like downtown Atlanta. So that put a big, you know, there weren't that many properties back then that basically filled those requirements. So we went and saw all the properties with the almost 2-year-olds at that point. And we got to this house and he was really hesitant on even coming in the house. But I was like, look, the other houses are not really right for us. Let's just go in and see. You know, it's been on the market forever. Let's just go in and see. Of course, we got in here. The twins, they ran and played. And it was like they had been there before. Like, it was their house. So we got in, and I was just like, Tobias, let's make an offer on it. We made the offer. I was like, let's give them our best offer. We went back and forth with them for 2 weeks, and lo and behold, they sold us the house. So I ended up writing a letter, which, again, my husband was like, we don't need to do all that. I was like, I'm writing these people a letter. They need to know why the offer is so low, but what we want to do with it. Well, at the closing table, the husband told us, because the wife was too sick to come, he's an elderly couple, told us that our letter was what, she was basically in tears after she read our letter and told her husband, you need to work it out so that this family can have this house.
Wow.
And then he also told us that they raised their twins in this house. So y'all blessed us with the house. And then, you know, we moved in. The twins had their second birthday party here. So so after that, we were just like, okay, well, we've got the 5 acres now. It's huge. Now what are we going to do with it? And we just started again. We wrote out a list of all the things that we wanted to eventually have and started thinking about what was feasible. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I don't work. I do homeschool our children at that time. Of course, you're not really doing a whole lot with 2-year-olds. We did a lot of Montessori stuff, and they loved that. But I had a lot more, you know, time on my hands because I wasn't having to follow a curriculum or anything like that. So at that point, it was mostly me brainstorming and then taking these, you know, big ideas to my husband and him just being like, oh my gosh, like, what have I gotten myself into? So that's kind of where how we got here. But now if you were to ask him, I think that he would definitely say that he loves every bit of what we're doing. And he wishes that we had more land to do more of it.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That is really amazing. So tell me, because, you know, I know that you have the Little Learning Farm. Mm-hmm. So I want you to tell all of our listeners all about this Little Learning Farm and what this homestead is doing for you all. And just, you know, why is this even important for you to carry on? Why is this something that you want your little geniuses, your little prideful kids to be a part of? And how do they participate, you know, mm-hmm. with this daily? Because this is mm-hmm. something that I'm guessing you guys do this daily, correct?
Yes, every day we're outside, we're working on a project, we're planting something, we're taking care of animals. It's a everyday thing. So where to start with that one? So basically, homesteading is just trying to find a way where you can kind of come away from what the cultural norm is of what a lifestyle should be, like what your lifestyle should be in this, you know, in the time that we're living in, mm-hmm. and really focusing on old school skills, old school ways of thinking about being self-sustainable. Basically, what can we do to not have to be dependent on the grocery stores? What can we do to not have to be dependent for every single one of our needs? Our goal is to gradually get to the point where we don't have to go to the grocery store. And the few things that we do need, we can maybe just order that in bulk. Being able to just have these skills that a lot of people don't even, I mean, it's not even like a nowhere near in their mindset that I need to know how to do this. Simple things like having chickens to lay eggs for you every day. Like, most people don't think about that, but if you're buying organic eggs and you're buying that every week or even two dozen a week, you're spending at least $7 on that one dozen of eggs, right? Mm-hmm. I've got 10 hens outside. We haven't had to buy eggs in over a year. These girls give me each an egg every day.
My goodness.
And so I'm getting 10 eggs a day without fail. I mean, the only time, and actually because all of my girls are only a year old, they are laying flawlessly. So I'm able to bless other families through those hens with eggs and still have enough to do all the baking that I want to do, to have as many eggs as we want for lunch, for breakfast, whatever it is that I'm doing. And the twins are right there with me. Literally everything I learned to do, they go out and they're learning to do it with me. We had a ton of trees taken down in the front of our house to have a garden. We have, I believe, 16 raised beds, and our chicken coop comes off of the garden, and they are able to basically, they have a run that goes around our garden, so they can kind of protect our garden from insects and other things coming in. They get to forage all day long, but then we have these beds where we can grow a ton of food for ourselves. So last year was the first year that we had this large garden, mm-hmm. and we basically, through the whole summer, we didn't have to buy any produce at all. Through the fall, we bought things like stuff that just wouldn't grow, you know, during the winter time. But I was still able to have all my collards, all my mustard greens, all my cabbages, a lot of my lettuce, you know, all of that stuff, radishes, right out of my garden. And it's all just about timing and getting out there and doing it. Now, as I'm doing this, the twins are out there with me. They have their own bed where they get to decide what they want to plant, and they have to take care of their plants. And you won't believe the pride that is on their little faces when they go out and they pick their vegetables, and they are able to contribute to our family meal because of what they grew. They are so excited about that. And they get to tell people, I grew, you know, the green beans that we had for dinner. They love that so much. We have two beehives out in a back acre. We all have bee suits. So when I go out there and I need to inspect the bees, the twins are with me. They know all about what you do with the bees, how to smoke the bees, how to collect honey. What do you do with the honey when you get it back inside? They're right there learning and doing it with me. I've gotten to the point now where they can go out and collect the chicken eggs. They know how to be gentle enough to do that now. And that was a learning process. We lost some eggs in the process of it. But I think it's worth losing a few eggs for them to have that experience and to know, okay, if I take care of my chickens, if I have a few chickens, I'll never want for eggs, expensive eggs. You know, it's just, it's all these things that are not necessary. Our next thing is dairy goats. So we have some Nigerian dwarf goats coming. Actually, we go to pick them up tomorrow. And our goal there is to have milk and be able to turn that milk into cheese and whatever else we want. We don't drink milk from the grocery store just because it's pasteurized. You know, a lot of the good beneficial bacteria and everything has basically been destroyed in that milk. And if we can't get raw, unpasteurized milk, we just don't drink it. But we do love cheese. So the goats will basically, you know, be able to create that situation for us. And then that's going to be a learning process. I've never kept goats. Even though I got my bachelor's in animal sciences, I never even got a chance to handle goats at our college farm. I never did that. So it's going to be a learning process. We've all watched a ton of YouTube videos together, and we're getting ready to go on this journey together. And the kids are excited. And I think for the kids to know that we're learning together and it's not just me teaching them all the time, mm-hmm. makes a huge difference. Because, you know, we sit down, we have class time for homeschool. That's a different thing than us going out into our homestead and learning how to trim a goat's hooves together, or learning how to make sure that the goats stay in their pen. You know, all these things, they take a lot of pride in learning right along with me. So
I think that's absolutely amazing. Lots of times, you know, we as parents don't think about the different skill sets that we can enable our children to have, you know, for life. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that you're teaching them how to be sustainable, you're teaching them how to be able to fend for themselves where they don't have to necessarily depend on anybody else. They can mm-hmm. do everything themselves. I think that, you know, just farming in general is this kind of taboo thing that's all far in the distance in our minds, that so far that we don't even realize what it takes to make cheese, to make mm-hmm. ice cream, to do any of the things that, you know, we take for granted on a daily basis. So I think that that's yeah. wonderful that you're giving them a different type of skill set. And they're, like you said, they have so much pride and excitement and joy mm-hmm. from it. And I think whenever we're doing something with our children and we're involving them and we're, like you said, learning alongside with them, that mm-hmm. gets them on a different level of gaining knowledge and obtaining yes. it than if we're just sitting in a classroom setting. So I truly do commend you on that, because I'm not sure if I could do goats, but I am interested in us learning how to have a garden, even if okay. it's just an indoor garden, a few things that we can mm-hmm. start off with. What would you suggest for parents that are wanting to maybe not completely take on the homestead journey, but just yes, to yes. start out with maybe a raised, you know, bed in the yard, or maybe if they're in an apartment, you know, city living, just to begin to start out with a few fruits and vegetables mm-hmm. for them to have, you know, natural and healthy things at home for their families. What do you yeah. suggest? Any tips on how to get started with that?
So I think the biggest thing is to just don't make it be a big deal. Just do it. Okay. So there are some really simple ways to do a raised bed. You don't even have to build anything. I don't know what they're called, but they have these cement blocks that have like a four-way connection where all you do is slide in the pieces of wood and you can make yourself a rectangle. and fill it with some dirt. You know, you can go straight to your Home Depot, your Lowe's, get a mixture of peat moss, some topsoil, and a couple of bags of that black cow manure. Mix that up, and you're good to go. If you don't want to start seeds, which that is a whole nother topic, but it's super easy, and a lot of people are intimidated by it, but you really shouldn't be, you can buy starter plants right there. Or find a local homestead that is selling starter plants. That's what I'm doing this year, and you'd be it's unbelievable how many people get in touch with me and say, can I get a tomato plant from you? Can I buy pepper plants from you? So just get them in there. Fill your dirt up, put some plants in there, and see how it goes. Everything doesn't have to be perfect. In nature, you know, God didn't plant tomato seeds a certain 12 inches apart, and then, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't have to be perfect. Do it. Use common sense. Don't put the plants right up on each other. Give them space to grow and just see what happens. Even with container gardening, if you don't have a yard, get some pots. Drill some drainage holes in them. Fill them up with that same mix. Get some topsoil. Get some peat moss. And get some manure. Mix all that up. Put your plants in there. Keep them watered. Okay? You can grow blueberry plants in pots. Pretty much any vegetable would do well in pots. And especially like your root vegetables that you could start right now. Radishes, turnips, your carrots. If you want to try that kind of thing, those are perfect in pots. In a deep pot, because they need that loose soil for that root formation. So there's so many things that you can do. If you don't want to do starter seeds, starter plants, please just buy a packet of seeds. There's so many plants in that packet of seeds. And you just read the instructions, or don't. I find that the best thing to do is just to make a little hole with your finger, go down the line, or with like a chopstick, put a few seeds in each hole, cover it back up, water it, and walk away. I promise you, something is going to grow. As long as you're not putting stuff like an inch deep, it's going to grow. I think what keeps people from doing it is intimidation. Anyone can grow something. You really, really can. You can grow lettuce. I know we used to spend a ton of money on organic lettuce mix, and it is so ridiculous to pay $5 and $6, $7. And literally somebody is just cutting that. I mean, you know, somebody has a raised bed. You can do a whole raised bed of what's called come and cut again. Sow your lettuce seeds, let them come up. You're eating baby lettuce. You go out there, you can cut it. Don't cut it all the way to the ground. It's going to grow back for you. In another couple of days, you can go back out there and cut some more. You can really decrease your grocery bill. But then also, there's something about eating fresh vegetables out of your own garden. It is like nothing that you're going to taste in the grocery store. And it's not as hard as you would think it is. You just really just have to get started with something. Start small. And I promise you, you will be rewarded. And then the next season, you're going to be like, okay, this worked out. Now I'm going to try this. You know, I'm going to try something new.
That's awesome. I think something that just is going to continue to resonate with me is the fact that you said, you know, anyone can grow something. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I think the biggest thing is that we are intimidated.
Yeah.
By, you know, trying to have this green thumb, right? Because we will get a plant and the plant dies and we're just like, oh my goodness, I'm terrible at this. And so it's not something that we want to try again. But I think it's very important for us, just health-wise. There's so many different pesticides and things that are used and things that are being put in animals. I myself am a pescatarian. It's been like maybe 6 months now. And that's because the meat was starting to make me sick. I noticed that I wouldn't feel good after I ate chicken anymore. I definitely didn't feel good after I ate beef. So I just decided, you know what? It's best that I wipe this out of my diet. I feel a lot better when I'm just eating vegetables and I'm eating seafood, and that works for me.
Yeah.
So I can definitely understand that. Well, I mean, I am really excited about everything you guys are doing. Best of luck with the GOAT. You have to stay in touch with us and come back on and let us know how things are progressing. Oh, I did have one last question for you. Is the homestead open to the public? Do you make it open to the public on certain days, or is it more so just for you all?
So we want to be a blessing to our community. What we do is on Wednesdays, I teach a forest school where I believe I've got five different families now that come in with their children, and we basically have a nature school. And, you know, nature school is basically teaching kids about playing in the rain. What are slugs? It's okay to pick up frogs. You know, let's find some worms. Basic stuff that a lot of kids just don't ever get to do anymore. So we have families that come in for our forest school weekly. Of course, we're down for forest schools now because of, you know, what's going on in our world. But we're hoping to start back in April. We do have workshops throughout the year. We've had one on making bone broth. We've done a fire cider workshop, and we've done a mushroom growing workshop last year. So that was all at the end of the year last year. And we've got some workshops in the making for this upcoming year. So we do that. And then I also grow starter plants for the community. So people are able to come and buy their starter plants from me instead of getting them from the big box stores. And then I basically teach them how to plant those starter plants and get their garden started.
Wow. So you have, not only are you using the homestead to be sustainable for your family, pass this awesome, incredible skill set to your children, but you are also making money.
Yeah.
This is a return on investment here. This is a good ROI.
Yes.
That's commendable. So you have your entrepreneurial skills working at the same time. I think yes. That's super duper awesome. Like I said, I couldn't leave without asking that question. But I definitely want to have you guys back on again as we continue to color outside the lines with our homestead green.
Thank you
so much for joining us. How can we keep in contact with you? Let our listeners know how they can keep in touch if they have any questions or anything.
Sure. So on Facebook, you can look up The Little Learning Farm. You'll find me on Facebook. And I'm also under Instagram. So we have a 501c3. It's called Sweet Peas and Carrots Family Homestead. So if you look that up on Instagram, you'll find us there. So that's where you can find us. And then if you ever need to get in touch, you can email me at jennifer@thelittlelearningfarm.com. And I promise to get back with you.
Well, thank you so much. We are so excited for you. We can't wait to hear
thank
more.
Thank you.
I am hoping to bring the original Prideful Kids out there to Georgia to hit this farm, because I know we would have us a ball.
Yeah, y'all would love it here. It is so beautiful.
Well, thank you so much, and we will be talking to you soon.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Miss Candace.
Bye.